Okay, welcome to January 27th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. It is I, your host, Joseph DeCristoforo, and the show is going through some changes. I've been working on my YouTube channel and getting that set up, but so far it's been a slow process with a lot of learning on the way. But once it is up, I'll have some fresh new content. Archive shows will appear more interesting than just an audio file, and you'll finally be able to see this tool shed I've been talking about for the last few years. I'm also changing the name, and I'm getting some good feedback on my Facebook page at facebook.com/Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. How about Joe's Daily Patriotic Nuggets? Or Daily Patriotic Whoppers by Joe? Or how about Joe's Daily Patriotic Pass, as somebody suggested? I don't know. I'm having a hard time making up my mind on this one. So keep the suggestions coming. And as always, thanks for listening and participating. And now, let's begin the show as we customarily do with the Pledge of Allegiance. Let's everybody stand up, face the flags, put our right hands over our hearts, and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen, brothers and sisters. And now on to today's headlines. The Paris Peace Accords ends the Vietnam War. Plus, the National Geographic Society is formed, and the Shelby GT350 debuts. All right, so now here I go. 1941. FDR is warned for the first time about Japanese bombing Pearl Harbor. Until nearly a year later on December 6th, half of America was opposed to getting involved with World War II. If FDR knew about the attack, then why would he allow it? Conspiracy theorists will explain that FDR was a very rare 33rd degree Mason, grandson of an opium drug dealer, has bloodlines in the Council of Foreign Relations, and the nephew of Frederick Delano, who is the original board member of the Federal Reserve, and therefore part of a world plan to create a one-world government. Randolph Hearst got credit for being the first newspaper publisher to use yellow journalism to change American public opinion on going to war with Spain at the turn of the century, so this conspiracy should not come as a surprise at all. According to historian Robert Stinnett, who allegedly uncovered over a million documents through the Freedom of Information Act, that Roosevelt was repeatedly warned about an attack on Pearl Harbor. It's all in his book, Day of Deceit, The Truth About FDR and Pearl Harbor. And he's not the only one. On this day in 1941, according to AtlanticTeamConspiracy.com, Tokyo Ambassador Joseph Gru warned FDR in a letter that should the United States get pulled into the war, Pearl Harbor would be Japan's first target. Also, according to the website, on November 26th, British Prime Minister Winston Churchill had a conversation with FDR about the upcoming attack on Pearl Harbor. On December 4th, supposedly, Australian intelligence warned FDR that Japanese are on their way, heading to Hawaii. It continues to point out that newer ships were moved out of the fleet, while older ships were lined up tip to nose, to make for a very convenient Japanese carpet bombing. In fact, Admiral James Richardson refused to obey FDR's demands that the fleet was lined up in such a suicidal formation and was promptly relieved of duty. He states, after meeting with FDR, quote, I came away with the impression that, despite his spoken word, the president was fully determined to put the United States into the war if Great Britain could hold out until he was reelected, unquote. So, conspiracies go back to the lost city of Atlantis and will probably continue for the rest of mankind's existence. But if this one, if it turns out to be true, it's just not funny. At all. 1888. The National Geographic Society was founded. Founded in Washington, D.C., the Society was made for the increase and diffusion of geographical knowledge. It is one of the largest non-profit scientific and educational institutions in the world. Its interests include geography, archaeology, and natural science, and the promotion of environmental and historical conservation. It is managed by a 21-member board of trustees that include distinguished educators, business executives, former government officials, and conservationists. Originally, it was founded by 33 people that made up of a diverse group of geographers, explorers, teachers, lawyers,
cartographers, military officers, and financiers. Then the magazine came out. When Gilbert Grosvenor took over as editor of the magazine in 1899, its circulation increased and was being read by 2 million people per month. It's known for its staggering photography and always has been. These days, it has a circulation of around 9 million readers. The society sees itself as a guardian of the planet's natural resources and, according to the website, it focuses on ways to broaden its reach and educate its readers about the unique relationship that humans have with planet Earth.
2016, Sunshine is named the oldest cockatiel. If you want to wish him a happy birthday, you'll have to do it through Vicky Aranda of Albuquerque, where, if he ever got injured, would surely receive tweetment. Vicky first purchased her fine feathered friend in 1983 in Colorado and kept Sunshine close to her ever since. There have been plenty of other claims to have cockatiels over 30, but Sunshine landed the world's record on this day in 2016, still eating his favorite food of cheese and spaghetti. And no, I don't know what he tweets on Twitter.
Finally, in Super Bowl news, 1991, the Buffalo Bills began their four-game losing streak in the Super Bowl. It was in the midst of the Gulf War and, as you can imagine, had quite the patriotic theme to it. Whitney Houston sang the Star Spangled Banner that just brought every human being to tears of joy. The Bills were about to win it in the end until Scott Norwood's cook was wide right. Just when you thought things couldn't get any worse, New Kids on the Block played the halftime.
And so that, my friends, is just about going to do it for January 27th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I'm your host, Joseph DiCristoforo. Take a look at the website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com, as well as the Facebook page. Let me know what your take is on today's ep. For instance, how about that Vietnam War? Controversial enough for you? Or what about National Geographic? Do you have a subscription? Or have you ever driven a Shelby GT350? So yeah, let me know what your take is. And while you're on the website, you can take a shot at some of the multiple choice questions. Good luck with those, and have fun. And be sure to check out tomorrow's program. I'll talk about Pancho Villa and Super Bowl news featuring Joe Montana, the Steelers, and Ray Lewis. So don't miss that. And until then, thanks for listening, everyone, and thanks for being great patriotic Americans. And we will see you tomorrow.